Married with Children, the podcast, hosted by Dustin and Callie. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at @married_show, Facebook, Married with Children Show, on Instagram, Married with Children Show, or reach out to us in an email, marriedwithchildrenshow@gmail.com. We're always looking for guests and sponsors. If you have a name of a guest that would be an interesting interview on the Married with Children Show, please send that information to us through social media or straight to our email address. Also, if you have a small business that you'd be interested in being a sponsor on the show, please reach out to us through an email so that we can work out a way that best suits you and our listeners. Also, if you like the podcast, be willing to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Welcome back to Married with Children, the podcast. Monday night here at about 8 o'clock, getting ready to go for the evening. Got an exciting show tonight. Got several things to talk about. Coming out of the weekend, had some exciting things go on this weekend. And then, one of my favorite guests that we've ever had on, we're going to give Ashley the Spider Monkey Yoder a phone call here in about, 20, 30 minutes. And check in on her. She's got a big fight coming up in the UFC here for UFC Fight Night 139 on November 10th. So we're going to take a quick peek into her fight camp and see how things are going. So exciting.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I think it's cool to have her back on. And I mean, it was interesting to talk to her a few months ago and everything, just to see how things work out or how she, does things and kind of her off season. I don't know if that's what you call it, but when she's not training. And so now it'll be interesting when she's got a date set and her training and that kind of thing.
Yeah, she's in full fight camp mode right now.
Right.
And I know I saw the other day she posted some of, because she joins up with that meal prep company. I believe they sponsor her.
Yeah.
When she's in fight camp. And I saw her posting some of the things that they delivered. So, for me, it's a whole different world. I'm all about the McDouble and dollar burritos. So it's interesting for me. And again, a good friend of mine, and I appreciate her taking time out. So
all right.
We'll get a little more in depth with her here in about 20 or 30 minutes. But first, NC not with us tonight, but we'll be back here in a couple weeks. We plan to throw out the weird food challenge. We are going to get it set up. I know my mom was texting me yesterday, nervous that it was happening last night. She wanted to make sure that she could tune in and watch it. Her exact words were that she thought Nikki's facial expressions were going to be priceless during it.
I would probably agree, yeah.
So I did go ahead and we threw it out to all the listeners, and I know we've got several others. I see Amy just joined us there on Facebook Live. I know she is one that has agreed to jump in and be a part of that when we do it as well. So several people have reached out and said, hey, we want to be a part of this weird food challenge. And kind of for those who haven't maybe listened to the last few episodes, what we plan to do is we're actually going to get a big wheel, the old school like chew carnival wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to put up a poll on Facebook here pretty soon that will include all of the, viewers or listeners, I should say, all the listeners' kind of suggestions, and we'll take a poll and we'll pick out 10 or 15 of the top ones. Then I think each one of us involved will get the opportunity to bring their own, which everybody already knows. I've made it clear mine is going to be pickled pig's feet.
I still say that there should be an opt-out clause of
yeah,
some
we're going
sort.
To figure out something. We're going to figure out something that you have to do if you just opt out of one. But some of them, and they range from, and I'm sure for other people, they're weirder food combinations than maybe some of them are for me. Some of them that came in, tomatoes and cottage cheese, which I actually love. So I hope that one ends up on there because that's easy for me. Doritos with mustard. I thought that was kind of a weird one there.
Yeah.
And hey, Christina says, hey, shout out to Christina. We're going to get into a little bit. I got to spend the afternoon with Christina and all the artists and everybody down at Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor yesterday. And I'm going to talk about that here a little bit later, because if you haven't checked that video out, that was a really cool and fun thing. And shout out to all those guys for letting me be a part of that. But oranges dipped in ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that I can't. I like both of them, but I just don't like the combination. Several people, the next two several people have brought up is peanut butter and onion sandwiches, or peanut butter and mayonnaise or Miracle Whip sandwiches. I will take peanut butter and onions all day long over the idea of peanut butter and mayonnaise or Miracle Whip.
I just think that sounds, both of them sound really, really weird. And I mean, like, I like all of those. I mean, I'm not a Miracle Whip hater like you are, but man, I don't know. An onion and peanut butter? I don't know.
I'm telling you right now, if the opt-out is pickled pig's feet, I would rather eat that than peanut
any
butter.
Any kind of mayonnaise?
Yes. I would rather do that than any of the mayonnaise things, because that just totally grosses me out. Watermelon and salsa was another one, which I don't think's that weird. I think off the top it sounds like it, but like I like the like peach mango habanero like salsas and hot sauces, so I don't think that's as weird. Let's see. Mashed potatoes with A1 sauce sandwich. I actually think that sounds delicious. Mashed potatoes with A1 and on a sandwich, I think sounds awesome.
Which we already went through our whole what makes a sandwich.
Oh yeah, we've got that broken down completely. We've got it figured out. Peanut butter on a hamburger with pepper jack cheese. I love that idea. I'm all about peanut butter on a cheeseburger. I've had it several times. I like it. And Nathan Bowling already put this up here earlier, but this is the Marty O'Neill, driver of the number 19 Indiana Pro Late Model. He is his specialty is bologna and ice cream.
I couldn't do that.
And Nathan,
I mean, like, I would try it, but like, I still think it sounds gross.
Nathan, if you're still listening, like, what kind of ice cream? What does Marty go
like
with?
Just vanilla ice cream?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. So I'm gonna. If not, we'll have to throw that out on Throttled Up Wednesday night and see what Marty tells us. Barbecue sauce and mac and cheese. That doesn't sound too bad to me.
No.
Mac and cheese with grape jelly, which I think sounds weird off the top, but when you go with like the meatballs that you make with the grape jelly and chili sauce, I that may not be as bad as it sounds. Potato chips with ketchup, that kind of sounds gross to me, just because that just seems like too much.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge ketchup person. Like on French fries, I am, but I guess that's similar. I don't know. That one's a little weird to me. Peanut butter and pickle sandwich. I think that one is one that we're going to, I hope, gets on the board, because I'm just intrigued.
Yeah.
Let's see. Peanut butter with bacon bits. I think that actually sounds interesting.
It sounds kind of weird because, I mean, those two together doesn't sound, but I mean, I don't know.
Chicken patty with chocolate pudding, which is kind of like.
Really?
It's kind of like dinner and dessert all wrapped up together.
Yeah, all together.
You know, just a quick and easy meal all wrapped up there together. Barbecue chips and cottage cheese. I thought that one was a little weird. That's a little too much for me.
Yeah.
The Bloody Mary with a smoked chub. And a chub is a whole fish. And if you haven't seen it, go back to the post we had on Married with Children asking for these ideas. And it was actually Sarah Sterling that posted that. But it is like a full fish. I mean, head, tail, the whole thing smoked, and it's set down in your drink. She said they had several of those when they were in Michigan. So a little different. Ketchup with mac and cheese. Now, that sounds gross. I would rather go grape jelly than ketchup.
Really? Yeah, I don't know.
Sliced lemons on a pepperoni pizza.
I mean, I guess like you put pineapple on a pizza, but not a pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. And Nathan says it is vanilla. You take a thick slice of bologna with a scoop of ice cream in the middle and eat it like a taco. I think that needs to be on there. I think that's pretty good.
Oh, my.
Cottage cheese and mashed potatoes. That's not like, it doesn't disgust me, but I'm like, that just doesn't sound good.
Like everything, the cottage cheese and mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are usually warm and cottage cheese is cold.
Yeah, but you put cottage cheese, like some people put like ricotta cheese or cottage cheese in your lasagna.
Yeah.
So I think
it kind of makes it kind of warm. Yeah. I don't know.
Radishes and Reese's peanut butter cups. This one's really weird to me.
I'm not a radish fan.
See, I am. And I mean, my dad used to have radish sandwiches, which was just bread, butter, and sliced radishes. And right. I like those. But the whole chocolate and radish kind of throws me off. Amy said Fritos and applesauce. That doesn't sound too terrible to me. Ketchup on green beans. I know you're not a green bean fan at all, but the whole ketchup on green beans just that.
Well,
I saw
that and that made me think I eat ketchup on lima beans.
Oh, that's true.
When I eat lima beans, I put ketchup on lima beans.
I like that too. So that is true.
I mean, I'm not a green bean fan, so I try to avoid green beans.
That is true.
Costs,
I never thought about that.
I don't know if that's a weird combination, but that's what my family always did. So, I mean, did you? I don't know that you ever really
did
that
a whole
until
lot of,
we.
Yeah, until I met you. Yeah, which is where a lot of things went downhill. but no, and I like. You know, hot sauce and stuff on it too, but yeah. So I don't know. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Peanut butter and relish sandwiches, which is really kind of like the peanut butter and pickle sandwich.
Yeah.
And then breaded tenderloin with honey, which just sounds absolutely delicious to me. So
that does sound pretty good.
I'm hoping some of those make it. Christina said pizza rolls dipped in sour cream. I don't think that sounds bad at all, but I'm a big sour cream fan.
Chili with sour cream in it.
That's what I had last night.
Yeah, we had chili last night because it was finally cool enough, and Dustin always puts sour cream in his chili.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
See, I knew, Christina, we had a connection. I knew. So everybody, if you listen, watch coming up here in the next few weeks. We're going to throw that poll up there. We're going to get things finalized, get the big wheel in here. We'll try and make it a big time Facebook Live event.
Yeah, that's going to be out of control.
So everybody can kind of watch us, go through the demise of having to try these things. So it should be fun, should be exciting. So we'll see how that all comes together. Second thing here, again, before we get to Ashley, for those of you who just joined us here in about 15 minutes, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, we'll go silent for a while. You'll still see the video of us, but I'm going to mute us so that I can place a call. We are going to be calling the UFC Zone, Ashley Spider Monkey Yoder. She's a UFC fighter. She is in fight camp right now getting ready for UFC Fight Night 139. And we're going to reach out to her and kind of check and see how things are going. If you have never gotten a chance to listen to the original episode that we did with Ashley, you need to go back and listen to it. It was one of our first ones.
I would say that was probably in January or February.
Like probably episode five or
something.
Yeah,
and that was probably one of our first interview type episodes, I think.
I think it was our first, actually, and this is actually episode 30 tonight. So
is that right? Okay.
So, but really cool girl, really cool story. So go back and take a look at that. So next thing, Cal, football is back.
Yeah.
And you said to me yesterday, you texted me when I was down at Beauty from Ashes and said, how are you doing it with all of
missing
all the football games? And you didn't realize till later that the Bears game wasn't until Sunday
until,
night football
last night,
which was a terrific first half and a real letdown
in the second
half. But, you know, first of all, from a Bears fan's perspective, I thought it was really exciting. Like I said today, if you'd have told me at the end of last season that we'd go to Green Bay in week one with a rookie head coach and a second-year quarterback and a lot of new additions on both sides of the ball, and we would go 24-23 and have a 20-0 lead at halftime, I understand there's a lot of negatives you can look at giving up that lead, but I think we would have said, give it to us and we'll go, because yeah. Khalil Mack looked like he was worth every penny.
Oh, yeah. That's all I heard. Of course, I went to bed about part of the way through the third quarter, but that's all I heard was Mack this, Mack that, and, you know.
And once I get him fully integrated in the defense and Roquan Smith, And those guys, I think they're going to be a really tough defense to deal with in the NFC North. Mitchell Trubisky looked good, especially in the first half. Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard, all of those guys. Allen Robinson, new addition, looked really good. Trey Burton, new addition from the Eagles, I thought looked good. So I think all around the new pieces look like they fit. If I had one big critique after yesterday, I think they got very conservative in the second half. I think they played not to lose instead of playing to win. So that's my take on that. You didn't get to watch your Colts game, much of it.
No, I didn't get to watch any of it. I really didn't see much football games. We had a birthday party yesterday, so I did not get to watch the Colts at all.
So. And, oh, wow, Nikki Cardinal commented here, and she said she's watching Walker, Texas Ranger, and the lady just asked for dry toast with peanut butter, mayonnaise, mustard, and hot sauce. So I don't know if
so
Nikki's
adding,
throwing that out
adding
as
that to it.
Adding that to the list or not. But So, and then fantasy, I'll be honest, did not go my way this week. I think I'm going to win, in one of our leagues, in our family league. I think I'm pretty safe, which is my sister and brother-in-law, my parents, and you. I'm pretty safe. The one that really hurts me is the Juice in the Morning and Paulie Sleepers listener league that I'm a part of. And those of you who follow us on social media may know that I have spent a ton of time trash talking this week, and just, you know, anything and everything I could say to Juice. I have made memes about Juice. I have dug through Juice's old Facebook pictures and pulled out his Facebook pictures. I have tried everything I can to to get under Juice's skin, which he has taken the high road every time. He has simply said that he'll let the digital football field do its talking, and it did.
What's the score? I know we got a game tonight, but
He doesn't. He's done, and he scored 175 to my current 84.
Oh, my gosh.
And my quarterback is currently Matthew Stafford, who is currently at -2 in the second half. So he's doing a bang-up job for me.
Is there a game going on right now?
Yeah, the first Monday night's always a double Monday night.
Oh, my gosh. And I have Matthew Stafford on my team, and he's at a -2.
He is currently, at a -2.
Great.
So I actually just posted on Twitter, kind of in the stream for our league, and just said the idea of, I posted a meme of crickets and just said crickets from me. I mean, I can't say anything. Juice totally destroyed me. And the problem is going to be, I really set my trash talk level high.
Yes, you did.
Because I don't know the rest of the guys in the league like I know Juice.
Yeah.
And I don't have access to all of their Facebooks. So I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to keep up the level of trash talk that I've brought here right off the bat. So,
yeah, I don't know how you're going to do that.
Let's see here. We're at about 8:18. So let's talk about yesterday. So I got this awesome opportunity, and I don't know if Christina's still on with us or not, but I had this awesome opportunity. Everybody down at Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor, hair salon, boutique, everything. They literally do everything. Christina was making t-shirts while everything was going on yesterday. Yeah, it was pretty cool. But anyway, I was invited down. It was Triple Team Tattoo Sunday. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask how this all kind of came about.
You know what?
I
don't really know that for sure. I believe one of the artists down there, Marf, and you can look her up on Facebook. She's awesome. Marf's Tattoos. She's friends with the client, and I think they kind of joked about this, and I think it just kind of, it was one of those crazy things that spawned into, an idea. And so anyway, when we say Triple Team Tattoo, one client, and they took the three artists down there, which is Eggman Inc. You can look him up on Facebook, Kyle McIntosh on Facebook, and Marf's Tattoos on Facebook. Each of the artists had a original drawing that they had done, a piece of original art, and they let the fans of the shop vote on which one of those they wanted that artist to tattoo. And after they selected him, he actually got three tattoos at one time. So one was on his sternum area right here on his chest, and that was actually a spray can that was done by Kyle McIntosh. And Kyle's also a graffiti artist. He's been on the show here before. And then Eggman. Egg did a tattoo, an eyeball, kind of wearing a ball cap with a bandana. Really cool.
Yeah.
Like blue that came out of the eye. It was really cool. And then Marf did a frog. So basically how it all worked out with me is that, you know, Kyle had been posting they were going to do all this stuff. And I knew I wasn't overly busy. So I just reached out to Kyle and said, hey, do you want me to come down and try and help you out with some audio and some sound? And we ended up down there and we Facebook Live the entire thing. So if you go to Beauty from Ashes tattoo shop page, or you can go to the Married with Children page on Facebook or my own personal page, and I have shared all of those that video, that live feed. And it's long. I think it's like about 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
is what
probably.
we were in there total. But it's interesting. I mean, and it's, you could tell that The guy that was getting it done, Tyler, he was in a lot of pain.
I wonder how he woke up this morning. Like, I don't know how that is the next day when you wake up.
I would say sore.
I would say so too. I would hope he took off work.
but it was a really cool event. You know, it was something totally different, totally outside the box of what I typically get to do. And like I said, and those guys down there, you know, if you're looking for a place, if you're looking for a hairstylist, if you're looking for a boutique with really cool t-shirts, if you're looking to get some ink, go down there. There are not better people that you will find than those down there. So it was kind of a really cool deal. And I guess my question for you, Callie, because you're kind of you're not a part of kind of the ink world.
No.
you watched for a little bit. What was your biggest question as it was going on?
Well, I mean, my biggest question was, because obviously I don't know how much they hurt or don't hurt or whatever, you know, people say, but I was just curious, like, how, because I'm like, I asked you, I'm like, is he in a lot of pain? Because that looks really painful, because obviously my thought is it hurts. And then if they're like doing that in like three different places, and at one point, you know, I saw that, you know, he had to like hold this leg one way and this leg this way, and, you know, he's got somebody on his chest, and it just seemed very like an awkward, you know, I mean, like, just so that everybody could have their own, like, to be able to see, to work in wherever space they were trying to.
And I think the tough thing, and I've had a few tattoos, but I think the tough thing is when they're working in one area and you're only getting one, obviously I have zero experience of multiples at a time.
Yeah.
But when you're getting one, your brain kind of focuses that's where the pain is.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the weird thing would be just the randomness of, I'm going in to do a little bit here, this guy's shading on this leg, you know, Kyle's up top doing, and I just think that constant randomness of where it's coming from would have been crazy. And kind of one cool thing was, somebody asked yesterday during the live broadcast, well, hello, Alex. Somebody asked yesterday during the live broadcast, have you looked to see if this is a record, you know, of most tattoos at one time? And so I looked it up, and I, before anybody calls me on it, I didn't verify any of this. I just Googled it quickly. But there was a guy that I think it was in like 2015. He got 36 tattoos at the same time. And
what?
They did it to set the record. And, like, if you look it up, the picture of him is, like, he's, like, up in, like, slings and got his legs pulled over, and people are tattooing from underneath and all around. It looks like the most miserable thing to be. I would be so,
wow.
And I'm not claustrophobic at all. That would make me claustrophobic. That would drive me nuts.
Wow. You know, I heard on the radio, that was maybe last week or something, and this is going to be one of my wonderful stories, but I heard that, I can't remember if it was I think it was like Domino's, that if you got a Domino tattoo and like showed it to, like proved it or whatever and sent it to whoever, that you would get 100 free pizzas for 100 years. And I guess they had to, like, if you got, they were doing this until like October 31st or like a certain day. And I guess they had so many people actually do it and send it in that they cut it down and said, today's the last day.
I was going to say, because if we'd have known about that, I think almost everybody at Beauty from Ashes Tattoo Parlor would have gotten a Domino's logo for the pizza.
Yeah, I just thought, I'm like, I guess they obviously just didn't think that many people do it. And I'm like, heck, if you get free pizzas, I mean, I would think a lot of people would do that.
Would you have done it?
No. I mean, like, I don't have tattoos, but I mean,
I don't know. So I'm going to mute us real quick, Callie. And okay. So if you're listening on Facebook Live, actually, I guess I can't because I got to bring her in. So we're just going to roll with it. So if you're still watching us, we're going to call Ashley Yoder right now, UFC fighter out of California. It's about 5:30 there. She is getting ready to teach a class. Let's see if we can get this to connect here. Now, come on now. There we go. Hopefully everybody on Facebook Live can hear as well. May have to try again. She may not know to answer my weird number.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Let me text her real quick and see if we can get her.
She is like famous, so she probably doesn't answer just random phone numbers.
So we'll see here again, but let me get my paperwork on her because again, we're going to get a hold of as soon as she can answer me here. We're going to get a hold of Ashley Yoder again, UFC fighter.
So she's about 2 months out, I guess, from her fight. You said it's like November 10th.
November 10th. Yeah. So I guess
today's the 10th, isn't it?
So let's see if I want to try her again here. Oh, her phone was on silent. So here we go. Everybody's going to think I'm making this up all of a sudden. There we go.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Yoder?
Hey, sorry about that.
No, you're all good. We are actually, we called you live while recording. We're on Facebook Live with you as well right now. I think everybody was questioning whether I actually could get connected to you. So
you had to call my people.
Yeah.
I was just kidding.
I had to get forwarded through. So, hey, how are things going though? Before, I know you're getting ready to teach a class here, but you know, you're in fight camp, fight coming up here, UFC Fight Night 139, on November 10th. How's training going?
Training's going really good. I got signed to this fight pretty early, so I've just started my actual camp pretty much this week. So you're always training, but camp mode starts now because you don't want to overtrain and get hurt. And it's a long camp. 8 weeks is a long time. And right now we're like almost just under 9 weeks. So.
And you're fighting Amanda Cooper. And I looked up kind of the tail of the tape. You know, you've got her obviously in height. She's only about 5'3". You being 5'7". Uh-huh. You've got her in reach as well. What is it? And I know you don't want to give away any of the, you know, the finer points of your strategy, but what does Amanda do well in the fights you've watched her in?
You know, Amanda comes from the same season of The Ultimate Fighter as me. She was on the opposite team. Actually, before we even got picked to do our team and before our first preliminary fight, we were actually together quite often. So we were pretty cool. And so I kind of already knew she was a boxer. I think she had a couple pro boxing. That's like her background. So going into it, you know, being on opposite teams, just seeing her fight, you know, she fought one of my teammates, and I knew, you know, just know she's a good boxer, and she's in the UFC for a reason, you know. There, she does have ground submissions as well, so it's always something that you have to be aware of at all times. You can't count anyone out for sure.
And you know, and you're fighting at the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado, correct?
Correct.
And did you fight your last fight in Denver as well?
No, Vegas.
Vegas.
I was gonna say,
okay.
It was in Vegas.
About 4,000 feet difference in altitude. So I've never fought at that high altitude. I've trained in Denver with one of my best friends, JJ. She was on the season with me. Also, she trains with Rose. So I haven't fought at that high altitude. I've only trained for a weekend, and I thought I was going to die. Apparently, 72 hours is, like, just the right time to feel like shit. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're
to feel
fine.
Really bad. So, so I'm going out almost 2 weeks ahead of time and going to get some training in with the JJ and at 303. So I'm pretty excited to be a part of that and get some good females to get me ready for my bout.
That's awesome. Very now, cool. do you, I know they have like those air masks that kind of simulate being at altitude. Do you do any of that while you're training there in California?
No, I've been trying the CVAC. It's actually a chamber. It's like hyperbaric chamber, but it changes your altitude. It does different drops. It basically tries to get your lungs acclimated to high altitude versus low altitude. So it's supposed to be really good for recovery, help you get acclimated a little bit faster. So I've been doing that. And we'll find out, I guess, when I get up there how well it's turned out. You don't really know. We're pretty much sea level here, so... I will find that out when I get to Denver, I guess.
I was going to say, kind of.
But I'm always down for trying new things.
Your whole life, you've never really been at altitude.
I know. If I could just tell you, my first day when I went to Denver the first time, before I even got punched in the face, I feel like I had gotten a nosebleed. And then I just tried to push myself. And my friend, JJ, was in fight camp. And I was trying to do all the stuff she was doing. And I thought I was going to die because there's no quit in me. Even though it's science, I wasn't acclimated, you know, so I did like really, really suffer. So it's kind of opened my eyes about getting out there early. But, you know, my opponent's from Michigan. She's not much different. So we're both going to be on equal playing grounds when it comes to like coming to altitude.
And that, you know, that's an interesting thing. I think that's a whole nother thing that throws into your training. Obviously, I know you said you were going to go out there early and those kind of things, but I mean, I would assume, and you can answer me, if you just kind of, you do what you can for it, but you just go in the same way you would any other fight and give everything you got.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't normally be going out 2 weeks ahead of time. I like to stay with my team and my coaches and work with them. That way we're all on the same page. We end a camp well together. So it is a little bit scary going out, you know, without my team there that has been with me and knows me. But I'm pretty good friends with the people I'm going to, so I think it'll be a good experience and something new to me. You know, it's like the Ultimate Fighter when you go on. You don't have your coaches, you don't have all this stuff, so you kind of depend on what you have. And I've been prepared with that hopefully going into this fight I'll feel really good. So
that experience on the Ultimate Fighter and being away from your coaches and having to train with other people and kind of rely on yourself. I know you still got a support system, but relying on yourself, you think that's and I know Amanda had the same thing, but an advantage for you going into this fight?
I don't know. Yeah, well, she had the same thing, so I don't know if it's an advantage, but I definitely think it will help make me feel a little bit more comfortable after experiencing something like that, you know? So not experiencing that and going to a different place with high altitude and being with the random people, it might not have been going to be as easy, but right now, you know, I'm feeling good about it.
And healthy? I mean, everything's good. You're healthy. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. And
yeah. So, I've been keeping the pace. You know, always training. I always train, but just making sure I don't overdo it too soon. You don't want to peak 6 weeks before your fight. So it's very vital that everything's like calculated to the perfect time. So.
So you said that really this week is when you've really kind of started full throttle as far as training and everything. Is that right?
Correct. You know, it's always you know, it will just be more game planning rounds versus, you know, just sparring.
Maintaining, yeah.
You know, it's all pretty much the same. I still train really hard. Sometimes you overtrain, you know, so. But taking care of your body is, like, something I as soon as I start camp, and I have been doing the recovery stuff. Because, you know, it is expensive. And I am fortunate enough that I get a lot of sponsorships on that side, that people love me and take care of me. But you still have to pay for massages every week and, you know, other things like that that cost money, you know, so.
Yeah.
Now, I was saying before we called you, you're sponsored by a food prep company when you're in fight camp, correct?
Oh, yes. The best food prep. You know how many people are jealous that I'm sponsored by these people because they don't do meal prep for anyone but me.
That's pretty cool.
I'm very, very blessed.
And who is it that does it for you?
It's Eat Marketplace. They're located like pretty close to our gym, but kind of the deal was they're all organic, locally grown, locally farmed, all this amazing, very clean food that's produced by them. They probably about 4 or 5 years ago started a meal prep service for people that wanted to take home meals, and they wanted to test on an athlete to get like calories and that kind of stuff. Asked me if I'd be their guinea pig. I was like, well, of course, I love your food. It's super, like, you go to this place, like, the smallest portion is going to cost you like 50. Like, I mean, it's super priced, but it's worth the food because it's very, very amazing, healthy, clean food. So, I was their guinea pig. They ended up doing the meal prep for a little bit, but it's just too expensive for people to maintain that. Mm-hmm. How their food is, you know, locally farmed. Like, they make sure they know where everything comes from. So, they ended up going away with it, and all these other meal prep companies started popping up. But I stayed true to them. You know, I said, hey, as long as you guys feed me during camp, I'm with you guys all day. So I've been with them since I started fighting professionally. So.
And I know, again, you're training all the time, and I know that you eat very healthy and you have a very healthy lifestyle. But can you tell a difference when you're really focused on their food and that clean and high protein, you know, quality protein and quality food?
Oh, 100%. Right now. If there's one thing I've learned about being more conscious of my diet, being a fighter, is how my body feels. Like, you are so in tune with your body. You know if something hurts, if something, if I'm not getting enough fats, you know, you just know. It's crazy. You start telling everything about your body. It's the same.
And as we look at this, I'm going to go back to your opponent a little bit. Would it, and I don't know this as well, obviously, as you, would it be fair to say that it's kind of a difference of two styles? Because, you know, looking at her background again, you know, like you said, she comes from a boxing background. The couple of wins she's had is by knockout or by going to the cards. You're kind of known more for submission. I know, and I don't want to corner you because I know how hard you've worked on your stand-up game and your striking, but is it kind of a difference in styles there between the two?
You know, she has submissions too. Her first fight getting into the house, she got an armbar on a kickboxer. So there is definitely a difference in style. I'm traditionally not a boxer. I'm not anything. I'm an MMA fighter. So I'll do whatever I got to do to get the win. But I definitely know I don't really sit well ever with judges, even, you know. So I got to finish the fight. And, you know, that's kind of where you got to go with it. It's something that I don't like talking about. I feel like talking things into play is usually bad karma. So I'm not a trash talker. I don't really like to say what I'm going to do. Whatever happens, happens, you know. So
yeah,
that's where I'm kind of boring when I start talking about my fight. I don't.
Well, and I'm
really big into, like, not talking about game planning, because at the end of the day, when I sit in that cage, something can change and I'll be on a whole nother level. So,
well, and there's really no game plan. And I mean that in the sense that you can talk about it all day long, but
it's exactly.
All by feel.
100%.
And you, even more specifically, and we've talked about this before when we had you on the show the first time, but you're a pretty unconventional fighter anyway. Which hurts you, I think, when you go to the judges in your other fights, because you're not this easy to score traditional, you know, you do everything by the book. you're kind of unconventional, and you're the spider monkey for a reason. And I think that that sometimes hurts you with the judges, even though it shouldn't.
Yeah, no, I can't really speak from the judges. I think they're, you know, they just don't like me for whatever reason. That could be the reason. Who knows? But yeah, you know, I came from no background. I didn't do karate when I was little. I didn't do wrestling when I was little. I didn't do any of that stuff. I kind of picked it all up one day and tried to, you know, get as best as I could in each aspect of MMA and bringing it together. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. It's just like when the cage door shuts, like, I don't know what kind of ash is going to. I dropped someone for the first time in my last fight ever in my life. Did I think I could drop someone? I'm like, I mean, if you watch the fight, you could literally see in my face, like, what did I just do? Like, I was surprised. So, definitely hurt me because I should have capitalized on that moment, but I didn't because I honestly didn't think I could drop someone. But, you know, now that experience is in there and I'm learning that, okay, I do have power in my technique. You know, I'm really, really developing as a fighter, and, you know, I just really hope it comes out in this next fight that I can get that finished. So.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to keep you too long, Ashley, because I know you got a class to go teach. You got a job to do. I know you're busy. I cannot say enough about how much I appreciate you joining us. You are going to be, you know that you've got a ton of support here. We're going to be pulling for you. Love to have you on. And I know you're not going to say it, but I'll say it. We would love to have you on after you win this fight. And talk about, you know, the celebration of you finishing it and taking care of business.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. And thank you again for having me.
All right, Ashley, have a good one.
Good luck.
All right, you too. Thank you so much. Oh, and congrats on my baby. I haven't talked to you guys since.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ashley.
All right, have a good day, guys.
See you. All right, so yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, a huge shout out to Ashley. For those of you, again, that maybe you're watching now that don't know the background there, go back, and there's like one of our first episodes, like we said, we think it was like episode 5, was with Ashley, and it's a long interview, about an hour long, and it goes through her story. Ashley went to high school with me. She's an Indiana girl, right here from Mitchell, Indiana, just about an hour away from us here. Mm-hmm. She went to Indiana University, graduated with a criminal justice degree and a African-American studies degree. And, you know, kind of the backstory I'll tell here a little bit, but again, go listen to the whole interview. She was a couple years younger than me. Her brother was actually in my graduating class. Right after we graduated, her brother was killed tragically in a motorcycle accident. And Ashley had and it was actually when Ashley's birthday, and she had a lot of rage built up about it. And she turned to mixed martial arts kind of as an outlet. Not really to be, you know, to become a UFC fighter, which is the coolest thing I think about her story. And if you knew her when she was in high school, she was the cheerleader, dance team member, the all-American girl. I mean, she wasn't a fighter. She wasn't this kind of, you know, tough mentality.
Which, I mean, she said then, and she said here again tonight that, you know, she doesn't have a background in you know, like karate or boxing or any of that. And obviously that's the reason why, is because she really wasn't planning on doing any of this. And this kind of just kind of found her and was able to be like her outlet, I guess. And
no,
seemed to be pretty good at it, obviously.
You know, and the difference here, when we talk about her opponent coming up, Amanda Cooper, Amanda here says that she started boxing at the age of 11. And joined her two older sisters at the boxing gym and started training. So on the flip side, here's Ashley. I mean, like I said, when we were in high school, I mean, she was the cheerleader, dance team member, you know, just that, you know, the all-American girl in the sense as a stereotype, and great girl, sweet girl. Started MMA to take out some of the aggression and rage she had from losing her brother, and it just kind of kept growing. Ended up in California, training with a gym there. Made it on the Ultimate Fighter, and then ended up with a contract with the UFC after that. So, again, heading into UFC Fight Night 139 versus Amanda Cooper on November 10th.
No, that's awesome. We definitely, I look forward to being able to watch her and things, so that's great.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a fighter to get behind, jump behind her. I mean, I'll tell you, she is she's an inspiration. And like I said, if you've struggled with loss in your life, if you've got, you know, a young girl that needs some inspiration, go back and listen to the episode we had with her, because I'm telling you, she is one of the coolest people that you can meet. So,
yeah.
Again, huge shout out to her. I'm beyond floored every time she lets me call and reach out to her and get her on the show. So,
absolutely.
Thanks to the Spider Monkey. All right. The other thing that I had, a couple things on my list here before we take off. Kind of a major controversy broke here over the last few week or so. Actually, a couple, I guess you could say, because one being the rapper feud that's going on, but that's not where I was going with it. But talking about the Colin Kaepernick Nike, you know, controversy. And I'm not really going to get into my opinion on it. We're not going to get political with it, but I did throw up two polls, and I just wanted to kind of see, based on my friend groups, on Facebook, or the people I'm friends with, kind of how that would turn out. And mm-hmm. Facebook polls were a little different. I'd never done one before. And I'm sure that somebody can tell me there's other ways to do things, but I could only figure out how to do two options, and they had to be really short. You couldn't type in a whole lot in the option. So, I had two options. I won't buy Nike, or I'm behind Cap and Nike. And several people commented and said, you know, I support Kaepernick, but I can't get behind Nike because they use sweatshop labor. You know, there's a lot of those. I wish I had this option. I wish I had the option that I don't care. I'm just going to buy the shoes I want. Yeah. All those kind of things. But of those two options, I was actually kind of shocked. I had 67 people respond.
Okay.
How many people do you think said, I won't buy Nike anymore out of 67?
That they won't buy Nike, I'd say 25.
35. It was actually 35 to 32, almost a 50-50 split. That was on Facebook. I also threw it up on Twitter. And Twitter was a little bit different because I could give multiple options.
Choices, okay.
And the first choice was, I'm burning my Nikes.
Okay.
The second choice was, I disagree with Kaepernick, but it's a good ad. The third choice is, I'm behind Cap and Nike. And the fourth choice was, I have no idea who Cap is. So I had 28 votes in this one because Twitter polls shut down a lot quicker. My Facebook poll is actually still going. I couldn't figure out how to just shut it off. I just wanted it to be done. But 11% of the 28 votes said I'm burning my Nikes. 21% said they disagree with Kaepernick, but it was a good ad. 54% said I'm behind Cap and Nike. And 14% said, I have no idea who Cap is. So, really, taking both polls together, it's still basically a 50-50 split, which is, I think, was surprising to me. I think I thought it would be a lot more, you know, towards being against Kaepernick.
Yeah,
I thought it would lean that way.
I don't disagree there, yeah. No, I think that's interesting that half of the people, I don't know.
All right, and we're going to get ready to wrap up here, but one thing, and I haven't even told you this yet, exciting news.
Okay.
Crazy enough, the power of Facebook has helped us. I happen to be scrolling through Facebook, and you know how it's always got the people you may know?
Yeah.
Like, and you can, like, add them immediately?
Right.
So I was scrolling through, and I come across this lady, and I won't say her name yet, because we've just messaged back and forth a little bit. But I have no idea who she is. But she's from Seymour. And the interesting thing why I added her and then started messaging with her is in her jobs, it says president of the Southern Indiana Ghost Hunters and paranormal investigation expert.
What?
From Seymour. Reached out to her in a message today. Told her about the podcast. Told her we're looking for a ghost hunter or paranormal expert to come on.
Oh, my gosh.
She said she was really excited, thought it was a cool idea. She was going to check out some of our episodes. She asked, how the heck did you find me?
You said Facebook knew.
That's exactly what I told her. I said, and the only reason why I added you is because it said you're president of the Southern Indiana Ghost Hunters. And so we're going to try and work out a time here coming up before Halloween to get her on. She actually, when we were messaging back and forth this evening, she told me that she's finishing up a big investigation that they just did this last weekend. So I'm really hopeful we can get her on and have her tell some stories because... when we're off the air, I'll pull up her Facebook page because some of the places she's in front of houses and things are really cool looking. They look really haunted.
I don't know. That makes me nervous. Like, I hope, I don't know that I believe in ghosts or not, but like, that makes me really nervous if she comes here in our house.
I know you haven't, but see, Smugcast already did this. So to BJ and AP, I'm stealing your idea totally. But at least I'm not stealing the same guests like Juice does. I'm at least I'm finding my own guests. Same idea, same category. But I mean, you guys have done 100 episodes, so I'm gonna have to duplicate some of them to get to 100. But
yeah.
So anyway, when they had theirs on, the guy had actually quit, and he quit because he says some of those spirits followed him home.
That's what I'm afraid of.
And that's why he got out. And
oh, my gosh.
If you go back and listen to the episode.
Don't tell me that.
AP said the craziest thing
was
not what you saw or heard on the show. Because the guy plays some clips, some recordings they made in houses of voices that they heard. But he said the guy's cell phone was in his bag, off, turned off. And it started playing music, and they couldn't figure out how or why it was playing music. So, but that's why
I would be freaking out.
That guy has totally gotten out of paranormal and ghost hunting because of that. So, you know, looking ahead here to Halloween, getting into the fall, you know, you said earlier the temperature's kind of cooled off, and it's getting to be fall, and we're getting around to the Halloween time. So, look out for a big paranormal episode.
Wow.
So, I'm really excited about some of the things we've got coming up. The Weird Food Challenge is coming up. The paranormal investigator that I'm hoping to get on. So hopefully we'll be able to finalize that and talk about some ghosts. And I know that, you know, Nikki's not with us tonight, but I know she'll be pumped about that one.
Oh, yeah, she totally will for sure.
So anything else before we take off, Cal?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, hey, again, a huge shout out and a thank you to Ashley, the Spider Monkey Yoder. And good luck to her as she fights in UFC Fight Night 139. And I guess I should go back here because I totally forgot as we kind of got into this. But I'm going to throw out to our sponsors here now at the end. Miller's Termite and Pest Control is the only place you need to look for pest control. Don't get roped into contracts or high prices with the big companies. Reach out to someone who cares about you. They can handle any problem from termites, bed bugs, ants, spiders, and etc. They also do lawn care. Where else can you keep the bugs out of your house and your yard looking sharp? Reach out to them on Facebook at Miller's Termite and Pest Control. Email them at pest_in_peace@yahoo.com. or by phone at 812-767-5657. Also, Tommy Taylor at Farm Bureau Insurance. Tommy is an agent at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. He can provide you with auto, home, life, commercial, farm, and does with a personal touch that you just can't get with other insurance companies. For any insurance needs you may have, Tommy has the capability to provide you with the right amount of coverage. Tommy is not just a sponsor of the podcast, but he's also my family's insurance agent, and he should be yours too. Give him a call, shoot him an email, or message him on Facebook, and he'll be happy to take care of all of your insurance needs. And a really cool thing with Tommy Taylor right now, so before you you end this podcast, if you're still with me, if you refer a friend to Tommy, and Tommy quotes them insurance, just quotes them, they don't have to sign up with him, you refer a friend, he gets to quote them the insurance, you get entered in a drawing for a $25 gift card. So a really cool little promotion that Tommy's doing. So refer your friends, reach out to Tommy, and get him some business over that way. All right, anything else?
Nope. I say have a good week.
All right, good night, good week, and we'll be back next Monday night.